Welcome to another edition of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we discuss movies and do a deep dive and give a very detailed discussion on movies on both Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel. Woo-hoo. I am Les Kirkendall, and here are my co-hosts. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And
you didn't say the Barrett.
Oh, that's right. I am married, so it is Les Kirkendall Barrett. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
And hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Jason Bowers.
So, it is...
I sound more like an announcer every week.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? Right? It's like this doing a podcast every week is paying off on our vocal training.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we got feedback. Are we supposed to explain who we are? That there's someone who's not sure who we are.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, I think that's sort of why you started the show the way you did. Am I correct? Because we normally start with the hello.
Exactly.
Okay, then we're all set then.
Yes, we received some wonderful feedback from one of our listeners, Terry Foster. Hello, Terry.
Hi, new listener, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
And she had very nice things to say. And so, yeah, one of her notes was that she started listening to us and she basically, you know, had no idea who we were. So she had to do a little research. And so, we take our notes from listeners very seriously. So if you have notes, please contact us and we will give the info at the end of the show on how to contact us. But I didn't tell you guys one thing. Terry actually has suggested a movie for us.
Oh.
And it's actually a good movie, and we're going to watch it at a later date.
Define good.
But it's okay. Kurt, get ready.
All right. I guess you've seen this movie.
It's called Christmas Cruise, starring Vivica A. Fox. And so the only reason that is stopping us from watching it sooner than later is just because I'm searching for it now. And so you know how tricky YouTube can be sometimes, where, you know, they have the title of the movie, but it's not actually the movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they show the movie, but everything's backward.
Is this a, right. I'm assuming that's a Lifetime movie, not a Hallmark movie?
It's a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
And so Christmas Cruise. Christmas is this part of like the cruising series? I know there was a movie Cruising with Al Pacino. Is this part of like a movie series of that? It's like a Christmas version?
No.
I've never seen Cruising.
Like when I'm in a bathroom at a gay bar and a guy checks me out?
Yeah, that's Cruising, right?
That's Cruising.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's more of like the Love Boat. That kind of
cruise. Is Cruising? Because I'm not 100% sure what Cruising means. That exclusively happens in the bathroom?
Not exclusively.
No. So you're saying that in this movie it will not be Vivica Fox going around checking out people in the bathrooms of gay bars?
No.
That's not what's happening in this movie.
No, it'll be Vivica A. Fox looking for love on a boat at Christmas time.
Well, those two things could happen at once.
Well, really, you know.
They probably do. You know who's in the Live Jefferson show? Jack A.
Yes, that is why I wasn't going to watch it. And then when I found out that my girl, friend of the show, Jack A., or we want her to be a friend of our show, Jack A., who we've reviewed more than one Jack A. movie.
Jack A. is on that live All the Family in Jefferson. Oh, okay. Right. I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I stepped away for like half a second.
News report.
And I don't know. I didn't know if we
you missed the Jack A. news.
I don't know if we reviewed a Jack A. movie since Jason has been a part of the podcast.
We have not.
But whether we love or hate the movie, Jack A. always escapes unscathed.
Oh, absolutely. We love Jack Kay.
Jack Kay is a national treasure.
We may have had a hand in reviving her career. That's why she's got this big opportunity now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Exactly. speaking of big opportunity, because I guess we all want to watch that ABC special tonight, so we're actually going to finish in a timely manner.
Yeah, we're recording this on a Wednesday night, which is when ABC's airing their On the Family Jeffersons live recreation, and all three of us are like 70s and 80s pop culture fanatics. So to not be able to talk about it on this podcast is hurting a little bit inside.
I'm on the East Coast, so I already saw the On the Family one.
Speaking of pop culture, I have Lori Loughlin news.
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait. And now, for the Loughlin Report, here's Les Kirkendall Barrett. Les?
So, we all know. Thank you, Jason. We all know that Lori Loughlin is in a little trouble right now because, of the college, the alleged college cheating scandal. And because of this, Lori Loughlin may be facing some prison time. So, Abby Lee Miller from Dance Moms. Are you guys familiar with Abby Lee Miller from Dance Moms?
No. I've never heard of Dance Moms.
I've heard of this show. I've heard of her. I've never seen the show, although I am more familiar with that girl Maddie that was on Dance Moms that's in all the Sia videos.
Yes, exactly. So, Kirk, just so you know, Dance Moms is a reality show. It's a reality show about a woman who runs a dance school and she yells at everybody. That's basically it.
And she went to jail. Since the show's been on.
Yeah. The show was on a break because she went to jail for a couple of years.
Okay. Well,
now teach our children.
For funneling money into the U.S. That's why she went to jail. Mm-hmm. For she was like funneling money back.
Into the U.S.
Yes.
Okay.
She would go and do, I guess, gigs out of the country and would like bring in tens of thousands of dollars and not declare it.
Oh. Wow. Can't do that, Dance Mom.
So, Abby Lee Miller, since she has been to prison, has advice for Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman if they go to prison.
Excellent.
So her advice is, basically her advice is to don't get a prison consultant.
What is a prison consultant?
Such a thing.
Okay. Hey, this is advice for even many of our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm legitimately curious. What is a prison consultant?
I do not know.
Is that what Kevin Hart was to Will Ferrell in that movie that was out a couple of years ago?
I think so, actually.
Okay.
I think so. She also says, be nice to everyone. It's just like every other place. Some people will love you. Some people will hate you. You got to make friends. She said, she cited an example where one woman, her name was the Redneck Amazon Barbie.
Is that her birth name?
Her birth name was Gypsy.
Gypsy? Okay.
Yes. Stop. Well, one time Gypsy liked Abby Lee so much, she took the shoes off of her feet and gave them to her.
Oh.
But that's not all she did to Abby.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, Abby, she's the dancer. Abby's bendy. I'm just saying.
Right.
Uh-oh. Here's some shoes.
Abby says, keep a low profile. Be careful of the guards. Because that's where you'll have the most problem. Especially you know, since you're an actress, the guards can go either way. They can either be really nice to you or not.
Yeah, this is an honest question because, you know, we're kind of joking around here. But how – if you're Lori Loughlin, if you've been on TV for the better part of 40 years, how do you keep a low profile?
The important thing is you get free shoes out of this. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very
exciting. She says people will recognize you from television because she says that's all they do all day and all night before, you know, is watch TV. So they watch a lot of TV. So they will recognize her.
She was on the garage sale mysteries, right?
Right.
Is that her show?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I'm sure that's a very popular show in prison.
Yes.
Well, think about it, though. She'll be in a women's prison, so Hallmark is especially popular among women.
How popular do you think our podcast is amongst prisoners who love the Hallmark channel from behind bars?
They listen to our podcast? They listen to our podcast in prison?
I think might.
Do they have
– I mean, that's okay with me.
If they're watching Dance Moms in prison, they might be listening to A Lifetime of Hallmark, available on iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming platforms.
They have to smuggle in a phone to listen to our podcast.
They might have access in the library or something. They might have access to computers and things, or at least audio devices.
Oh.
Yeah, I bet they do have like a computer room and stuff.
Oh. Okay.
And think about it this way. Like, okay.
Do you think they have Sonos?
If they were watching Dance Moms, that means they have cable.
They definitely have cable.
Right.
Because Dance Moms is unlike Dance Moms. Was it on Lifetime?
Probably.
Don't know.
So they probably have cable if they're watching Dance Moms.
I guess we can all expect the headline from Full House to Big House.
Oh, we've seen that headline 8 billion times in the first week when this story broke. Yeah.
I probably absorbed it and just regurgitated it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that is my Lori Loughlin news. Prison
that's
advice.
Very good.
From
and
Abby.
I think that's very practical. That's very practical advice.
And you know what Abby Lee did, which is why I love her?
She shanked a bitch.
Even smarter. Abby Lee found out that she was going to prison. And before she went to prison, she had gastric bypass surgery.
Oh, so she could recover while she was behind bars?
Right, and she got out of prison and lost all this weight. So it was almost like a metamorphosis, you know?
Oh.
It was kind of like, okay, bitches, I'm going to show you, while I am in prison, I'm going to drop a bunch of LBs and come out looking fabulous.
I mean, on one hand, that's smart, but on the other hand, you've got all of the time in the world while you're in there to work out, and they're probably not serving great food that you're going to want to bulk up on, so wouldn't you just be able to lose the weight naturally there? And not that everyone can lose the weight naturally easily, but I would think that that's the perfect opportunity to just get in shape like Bette Midler did in that movie.
Well, but see, this is what I think, though. Because I love that movie, by the
way. What movie? Ruthless
People? Was that
Ruthless People.
Yeah.
Ruthless People. Yeah. Yeah.
And where she was using her chains as like a jump rope and stuff.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
But what now? I've never been to prison. No offense to anyone. I hope I don't ever go to prison. But what I gathered from prison food, because I saw it on Empire, where Cookie was talking about prison, mm-hmm. I think that prison food is very carby.
Yeah, like, I could see that. I could see it being very, you know, not the healthiest food in the world, for sure. I'm just thinking that you don't have a chance to sit and snack. You only get what they serve you, and that's it. So you're getting, you know, three portioned meals per day and nothing more. It's not like, you know, when you go to bed at night, they're like, oh, take a can of Pringles with you.
Well, no, actually, though, because I saw this on Days of Our Lives when Hope went to prison. I think they have a commissary.
Yeah, you could buy like M&Ms and things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, and on Orange is the New Black, too.
Orange is the New Black, yeah. They buy stuff and, you know, they have they have some kind – they have an account.
Yeah. Oh, it's like an account that your family can fill or whatever?
Yeah. Something like that.
I am learning so much today.
I was an extra on Orange is the New Black.
Right.
Twice.
So see, Kirk has prison experience.
I know all about it. I have prison, and I was Charlie Murphy's prison roommate in the show Power. Okay. I think I may have said that before.
Oh. No, maybe you haven't. So, Kurt, so technically you've been to prison twice.
I don't think technically is the word that you mean there, but yes, Kurt has been to prison twice. Figuratively.
Okay, yes.
In make-believe time, you have been to prison twice.
Right.
Right. Yes, a few times I've been to – but I've been to real prisons because I shot in a Law & Order SVU shoot that shot in a maximum security prison.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't a fun day.
See?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was unpleasant.
The cred.
The power shoot was also at a prison, but it was a little – it was less intense because it was part of the prison that wasn't active. In SVU, I was in an active prison.
Wow. Wow. See? That's like method acting.
Crazy stuff. Oh, yeah.
So that's my Lori Loughlin news.
Is there any Black China updates?
Why, yes, there is.
And now for the Black China update. Part of the Lifetime of Hallmark canon. Here's Les Kirk and L. Barrett.
So Black China, Black China, was in a fight with her mother, Tokyo Toni.
How do we even know this? Is there somebody looking through their window, collecting intel, or what?
Well, okay, so Wendy Williams reported on the Wendy Williams show today that Black China and Tokyo Toni have made up.
Now, did you tell us before that Tokyo Toni was a stripper as well at one point?
That I do not know.
Like, where does she get the name Tokyo Toni?
That's a good guess.
I do not know.
And if she's not, I'm not judging. I don't care whether or not she was. I'm just curious. It's an unusual name to carry as your moniker with no context.
As right. If you asked well, that about everybody. Is that the question, stripper? But we're not judging.
That name, Queen Elizabeth, like, what do you mean by that?
Oh, man.
And sorry to our friends in the UK. I don't mean to besmirch the queen.
Jeez.
But yeah, so a family has been brought together again.
Oh, good.
Kumbaya.
And that's, speaking of family... Mm-hmm. Let's talk about our movie.
Oh yeah,
Psycho Granny.
Oh my god,
on the Lifetime
Psycho
channel.
Granny, qu'est-ce que c'est?
I messaged you guys. I messaged Jason last night as I was watching this movie. This movie gave me everything I needed. Everything.
No, there was one thing it didn't have.
Well, you know what, though? I'm willing to overlook the fact that it didn't have a makeover in there.
Yeah, it did not have
a
makeover.
It wouldn't fit.
But this movie was so crazy, it didn't need one.
That is true.
No, it would have been out of place.
There was a lot. They could have done a makeover montage of that nursery as it was getting redone into a nursery.
Not necessary.
Okay. Well, no, actually, didn't they do a – they did sort of a montage – with all of her victims.
Yeah, they kind of did. Okay.
Interesting.
That's fair.
Yes. Okay, so this movie gave me this movie was everything.
I watched this movie with my mom.
Are you serious?
And I watched it with my mom. She wanted to watch it. So she had some I'll let you know what, cuz I wrote down a certain parts of the movie. I think she had a couple of remarks herself.
I would love to know, like, what kind of onomatopoeia your mom screamed out during this movie.
Onomatopoeia?
Yeah.
Wait, what's onomatopoeia?
That's like, you know, that's like words like wow, like, and oh, you know, like all of the pows and things like they would have on the old Batman show. I just want to know, like, how mom was reacting to this audibly.
A little bit. She stayed awake. She usually sleeps through these movies, but she was like her eyes were open like just a crack.
Yeah, this one
during at least part of it.
This one kept me awake too, and not in a scared kind of way. I was just like I was engaged. As ridiculous as this movie was, I was fully engaged the entire time.
I think I was too.
Okay, so we start out. It's Thanksgiving dinner, and Grandma brings out a turkey, and Grandma is giving a speech, and Grandma is basically telling everybody about themselves. Like, she talks about Susie and getting high with her thug boyfriend. And then she's like, Rick, thank you for washing your hair. And then she's going around the table and she is just reading everybody for filth.
Yep. Shannon is an utter failure.
Right. Right. She's just letting them have it. But then the camera pans out and everyone is dead around the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah. This woman, by the way, like right away, I was like, she's kind of a cross between Marcia Cross and Ellen Pompeo.
Yes, actually, like an older, I can totally see that. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
And actually, she's pretty. Especially for a woman.
She's very attractive.
Yes.
She's very pretty.
An attractive psycho granny.
So she tells the table full of dead people, I'm moving on. I'm done with you all. Right?
They're boring at this point.
And then she's going through like newspaper clippings and they're newspaper clippings like about death. And she's going through obituaries and stuff. And she takes out the clippings and she has like this book. She has like a journal and she like tapes them in her journal. And she also has a list. And I wrote, she's killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
She's busy. So then she finds this obituary. So basically, from what I gathered, she did what people used to do when they were looking for apartments in New York. They'd look at the obituaries, and if they saw someone died, they would go check out the apartment. Well, she looked at the obituary, and she saw that this person who died was survived by her daughter, Samantha. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to meet Samantha. So then we cut to Samantha, the woman, and Samantha's crying, and we discover that Samantha's mom died.
And I would play the I See Dead People clip, but it went missing from my audio wall, so Dead People.
Oh, no.
There it is. A solid Haley Joel Osment impression.
Thank you.
But I take it. So we find out her mom died, and we find out that she had been through a lot of miscarriages, and she's finally gotten pregnant after trying for a long time.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay, it's good news.
And she's there with her husband. Now, do you know who her husband was?
Yes.
Can you believe that?
We saw him in another movie, right?
You've seen him in many things. He's been acting for many years. He was a teenage, actually a child star.
Like a little kid.
Yeah. And he has famous brothers as well.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. This was Matthew Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, give me a break.
I didn't recognize. I saw his name in the credits, and I didn't realize it was him as the husband at first because his hair was like greasy. It did not look cute.
Well, his brother is Joey Lawrence.
Correct.
Kid. And they had a show that they all had a show together.
Yes, they had a show. They had a show together called The Lawrence Brothers, which I was an extra on. And they used to show it on the Disney Channel all the time, and you could see me really prominently in that episode. So my friends would always call me and tell me that they saw me on there.
That's funny.
And then Matthew was also on Boy Meets World for a couple of seasons, which I was also a regular extra on. Although I think our years didn't overlap.
My first thought when I saw him, though, is, oh my god, I feel old. I feel really old.
Yeah,
I thought like Matthew Lawrence is in things. Like, how many people are out there going out for roles right now? It's like, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Matthew Lawrence is in the mix. Mm-hmm. But he was good, though.
He's good, yeah. He still looks good, too. Except that hair.
Right. No, the hair. Other than the hair, he was cute. Mm-hmm. So then she's at Samantha's at her lawyer's office, and I wrote the lawyer was actually kind of a bitch.
I
give her judgy eyes.
I thought it was a lawyer. It was not a lawyer.
Oh no, that's right. It was a funeral person.
Yeah,
it was a funeral home.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It wasn't real clear at first, though.
Right?
Hey, really? I think I thought it was a lawyer too.
Yeah, it wasn't clear until a later scene when they referred back to that scene and they said something about a funeral home. Yeah.
I wrote law office too. I never thought this was a funeral home. Well, jeez, this woman's acting with.
She's very judgy.
Authority.
Like, she had judgy eyes though. She's very like bitchy.
Yeah.
Which then when you realize she's working at a funeral home, then it's like you wonder even more. Why was she so angry?
Yeah. And you don't need to do that stuff in person. You could do the arrangements over the phone.
Right. Right.
I have lawyer I wrote down. Jeez.
So then we find out that Samantha's mom was actually adopted. Mm-hmm. And she's the Undertaker, right?
Yeah.
The Undertaker leaves the room, and Samantha's looking at a picture, and all of a sudden we see like this woman's face appear like in the picture. Like, it's very creepy.
Like a reflection. Not the picture wasn't moving.
Yeah, like a reflection.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, this becomes a common thing in this movie.
So Samantha, of course, is startled, which, you know, I don't blame her, because that was very creepy. And so the woman, who then says her name is Colleen gives Samantha this big sob story. But as she's giving her the story, what I love about Lifetime movies is if it's a movie like Psycho Granny, they give you psycho background music. Yep. So you have no doubt what this movie is.
At this point, I should say my mom, as my mom was watching it, she said, I got goosebumps.
Oh.
Can we have your mom on the show sometime, honestly?
Yes.
I would love to do a movie with your mom. That'd be fun.
She'd like to listen to the show. I told her about it last week. She said she wasn't aware of the show, so she might listen to it.
I met your mom.
She might listen to it. Yeah, but I said, Mommy, if you don't know the movies, like you're not going to be interested. Well, it's my son's. All right.
Exactly. Exactly.
She did watch this movie, so she might be listening to this one.
I also think our show is fun to listen to, even if you don't watch the movies, because we go off on all our tangents. We have all of this news about Black China.
Right?
Yeah, my mom's interested in the Black China updates. That's true.
I'm sure she wants to know what's going on.
That'll sell her.
And I love that Black China has nothing to do with Hallmark or Lifetime.
Not at
all.
Not at all.
No, I don't even question that.
We're trying to bring in listeners from all kinds of different backgrounds in terms of their tastes.
Mm. Oh, so then Colleen makes up this story about her adopted daughter, but you know, and she puts on this great. She's a great actress. Colleen. She puts on this whole act, and then you know, Samantha believes her, and then Samantha goes home, right? and she tells her husband, and her husband is like, oh, you could be worth $1 billion. And yeah. It set up this trend for the entire movie that every time she told someone that she found her grandmother, they would be like, oh my God, I bet she's rich.
Bunch of gold diggers.
I bet that right. That is the reaction that most people would have, though.
Really?
I think in that situation, and not even a genuine reaction, but people make their sort of cheesy small talk when they find out big information about someone they know. It's I think that's just human nature.
I guess.
I wonder what if people do those genealogy things to find out other people they're related to. I wonder if they're looking for rich people. I mean, if that's what they're
I've
up
done
to.
It. I've done it, and yeah. I've met like 3 different relatives from that website, from Ancestry.com.
Really?
Yeah.
And how much money did they have? What is their net worth?
Money didn't come into play because I had other things. Because for those of you listeners who don't know, I'm African American, so my big shock was, oh my God, you're white, like more than what.
So you didn't even get to the money part.
Right, because I was just like, oh geez, like how did this happen?
Well, good luck getting a kidney now, Les.
Right?
Wow. Boy.
Oh. When they were in the funeral home, I don't remember if it was with Colleen or if it was with the funeral director, Sam mentioned something about having been married for about 10 years.
Yes.
Did you? Okay. So I was thinking about this later in the movie, and I don't know if this crossed your mind. The woman playing the grandmother, if she is believed to be around the same age as what Sam's grandmother would be, and if Sam is to be believed as a woman that's been married about 10 years – wouldn't the grandmother need to be around 70 or more?
Because
this actress was like 55 at most.
Well, but then again, if she put her daughter up for adoption, she could have been a young mother.
She probably was a young mother who was married. She talks about her ex-husband.
Well, I mean, but then again, 70 isn't what 70 used to be.
True, but she was, I mean, she was strong, though, too.
Oh, yeah. I note that. She was no joke.
Yeah.
She was a psycho, though.
So how old would you say that?
If you're a 70. I mean, in psycho years, you know, like a 70-year-old psycho is strong as a normal 50-year-old.
I would say that is true, but in the face, they probably age faster.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That ruins my theory.
You know, if you have that superhuman strength, you look a little more weathered.
But then again, she had access to other drugs, which we'll get into, so I'm sure she had access to Botox, too.
That's possible.
I don't know.
I
got lost in the math part.
Now, wouldn't you – how old did you think? Because I thought that they were probably around like 30, 35.
Okay. Let's say that they got married really young, like out of college. So that would – if they were married for 10 years, that would mean that they're like 32. Okay?
Okay.
Now, let's say that the grandmother, she was married. She probably got – you know, back then you could get married a little bit younger. So let's say that she had the kid when she was 20.
Right.
Let's say even if the mom, who we don't really know a lot about her history, let's say the mom had a kid around 20. So you add up those three, that's 72?
Okay.
That the granny should be?
All right.
Right.
And this woman looked like she was in her mid-50s.
Yeah, she was beautiful. She really was. Yeah,
She did seem kind of young. I mean, they could have easily gone for like an old school granny,
She looked like she was the age to be the mother of the girl, not the grandmother of the girl.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're back at the funeral home, right? Mm-hmm. And Colleen sneaks into the funeral home. She's going through files, and she finds the info for Samantha. But while she's sneaking around, the judgy Undertaker woman comes back.
I love
and she sees her stuff on the desk, and so it's obvious someone's been in her office. But while she's looking at her desk, Colleen walks up behind her. And my question is, wouldn't you feel someone walking up behind you, especially if you were in a room by yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Although
my mom said,
"Oh, go
my
ahead.
Mom said this was scary." She said, "At this point, she said this is scary."
I would say, in any other circumstance, if you kind of get that sense that somebody's walking behind you, it would freak you out. But also, she works at a funeral home, so probably gets that sense a lot and is desensitized to it.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
No. But what happens? She just gets behind her? That's all I have in my notes. She gets behind the lawyer, because I still thought she was a lawyer.
Yeah, well, she gets behind her, but then the next scene, Samantha gets a call telling her that there was an accident.
Oh.
So that's what happened.
The funeral home director accidentally got smacked in the head.
Mm-hmm. So then Colleen calls, and while Samantha's in the room with her husband, and the husband is like, well, why don't you ask her if she could buy us a yacht?
What are they going to do with a yacht?
Right.
And by the way, I say props to the iPhone. It looked like a real phone.
It did.
A lot of times they don't, so you
but
have to
they
credit when it happens.
There were still instances of my pet peeve where there's no chat history with someone that has allegedly been texting back and forth.
Well, some progress.
So then Colleen invites Samantha out for lunch, and the husband is like, well, make sure she treats.
The husband's got to get some kind of a – husband's got to get some kind of a higher paying situation. You know, he's expecting everybody to take care of him.
I don't think that's the case, though. He's a workaholic in this movie, or at least so Samantha feels.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Colleen has like a book of all of her victims. Like it's like a journal. It's like a dossier.
It was like a creepy yearbook.
It's a scrapbook.
It was, but like, it wasn't just like she kept like a little manifesto of it all. It was her doodling. It was so teenage girl in a Trapper Keeper notebook.
Right.
She would draw little smiley faces every time she wrote a note. And it was in this really like overly fancy cursive, but not like a script. It was she would just doodle a little bit and like draw little hearts, and it was creepy.
Yeah.
I used to have a Trapper Keeper.
So did I.
I think we all did.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still around.
So then Samantha's talking to her friend, her best friend, Amy. And she's telling Amy how she misses her mom, and she's very sad, and, you know.
This woman, Amy, had a page boy haircut.
Yeah, it was very extreme.
Prince Valiant.
Was it explained right away that she was the friend? Because I didn't know for a little while that she was a friend. I thought maybe a sister.
See, I didn't know either. I thought it was, like, the sister or some, like, because, you know, they were talking very intimately.
Yeah,
so,
even some of the names of the characters, I didn't pick up on Samantha's name till about almost halfway into the movie.
I never did. I describe her in my notes as Blondie.
Me too.
Blondie.
Really?
And Colleen. Blondie. I think they did mention Colleen's name when she introduced herself at the funeral home, but I missed it at that point, so I just kept calling her Marcia Pompeo.
Marcia Pompeo.
Wow. That's a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. So then she's telling Amy about her grandmother, and Amy once again is like, well, I hope she's rich, like everybody.
Oh, yeah. Is she rich? Yeah. This crew is hurting. Wow. I don't want to run into these people. Ooh, you buying lunch, Kurt? No.
They're tapped into the mood of the country right now. that everyone
I heard you got
struggling.
I heard you got a hit podcast. You think you could buy us lunch?
Did your mom say that to you when she found out you had a podcast?
Yeah, I heard you had a hit podcast going on there. You buying us lunch?
I need a yacht.
How desperate are you people?
Then Colleen and Samantha are having lunch. Colleen is telling Samantha that she was a registered nurse, which actually makes a lot of sense. Later on in the movie, it makes a lot of sense. And then she tells, she makes up a story about why she gave her mom up. And, you know, she was in a bad marriage. And then she was young, she was in a bad marriage. They broke up, and she couldn't afford to take care of a baby by herself, so she put the baby up for adoption.
I noticed she was drinking wine. She ordered wine in a diner. That just seems odd to me.
I didn't pick up on the fact that it was a diner. Diner wine. Ooh.
It was diner wine. I don't know. I don't know why that bothers me.
How do we feel about that? Is that as bad as ordering seafood in a diner?
No, I wouldn't order wine in a diner. It just seems weird.
It's weird, but I don't think you get sick from diner wine.
Not
diner sick. Diner wine is probably like box wine.
It's like cheap.
Yeah,
it's like cheap. Like 99-cent store wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just drink your wine at home. It's going to be the same experience.
I don't know. If you're at a crappy diner, you might want to forget about the experience.
I guess I like to absorb the experience of being a diner. I don't know.
But,
life lessons.
Maybe so part of Colleen's experience of being at a diner is drinking their wine.
Right.
She's doing a flight of wine before she has one of the pies.
I'm glad because I needed to work through this. I've processed this now.
Okay, good.
So while they're talking, a baby starts crying. Mm-hmm. And Colleen just gets like pissed, but like just she was just irrational about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And she starts going off about how parents, you know, they ignore their children, and you know, she just really. Yeah. But then she caught herself and like toned it down.
Well, because we also the mom of the baby, they cut to a shot of her, and like she's not paying attention to the baby. She's like looking at her phone. Which is why Colleen reacts way.
Right.
Yeah.
Colleen went crazy.
Yeah, she's like, these people have kids and then they look at their phone and burr. And then she starts explaining. She said, I married a boy. Right? I married a boy.
Yeah.
That's she said it.
And he was drinking.
And the boy drank. And he ran around with women. So she gave up her daughter. That's my dramatic monologue.
And then I wrote, this is a really good sob story, because even though I knew she was a killer and stuff, I actually started kind of buying it myself for a minute.
Yeah, well, because at this point, we don't know. You know, we assume really? That she could still be related to Samantha. Or at least I did.
Right. But then I kept
thinking. She was looking up the obituaries early on. I don't know.
I saw her looking at the obituaries earlier in the movie, I didn't know if that related to all those people that were around the table that were dead. Like, I didn't know who those people were that she was looking at.
Oh, wow. No, I knew she was running scams. I had this psycho granny's number. Nobody's getting anything by me.
So after lunch, Colleen gets in her car, and this woman walks by, and this woman's like, Helen, is that you?
Well, she started to write her journal.
And she's going on about how Helen just disappeared, and we didn't know what happened to you. And I thought, ooh, lady, you're going to die. But Colleen just looked at her, or Helen just looked at her like she was crazy and was like, I know what you're talking about.
I'm not Helen. You must have been confused.
Right. Gaslit her.
But she closes the window on her.
What I really enjoyed about that scene was, like, not only does Colleen deny it, but this woman is still laughing, thinking, like, that Helen is joking around. So, like, when Colleen was using this name Helen when she was in Portland, was she just, like, a total jokester that this is normal behavior?
I guess.
That's the huge mistake. She was a big jokester, and then, you know, and when she's now she's Colleen, and she says she's Colleen just to figure she's joking. Oh, Helen, there you go again, pretending you're someone else.
Well, I love the idea of Colleen having a phase of her life where she was just like wacky,
right? Like the jokester.
Like she was just like TPing the neighbors' houses. She's prank calling them in the middle of the night.
So the next scene, Samantha and her husband have friends over, and they had Amy over, and then you guys recognize the guy, right?
I did not.
We saw him in something, didn't we?
In one of the worst movies we've ever seen.
You're going to need to be more specific.
Edge of the Garden?
No, the one where he's having an affair with a woman and he takes her on vacation where he tries to kill her.
Oh, what?
Oh,
really?
Killer Vacation.
Oh, my God.
That was the guy from Killer Vacation.
The Lifetime movie Killer Vacation. Yes, I remember.
Oh, and my park ranger clip's missing from my wall, too. I don't know what happened to my sound wall. Things are missing. I'm upset.
That's my favorite.
I'll have it again next week. Don't worry.
And there's a soundbite of Les saying something.
Oh, I think I have that one. Wait, hold on.
Are we going to be arrested?
Let's hear that.
Because that's something
when
else.
When I took this gig, nobody said anything about being arrested.
No.
I think that was from the Lori Loughlin movie. Hold on. Yeah, I don't. Wait, Lord, is this the last one?
Are you searching for adventure?
That's the last one.
Are you searching for adventure?
Searching for adventure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so this guy, Todd, the friend is named Todd, and Todd is like kind of a creep and kind of drunk.
Yeah.
And he's hitting on Amy.
Hitting on Amy. Right, with the page boy.
Right, and then Amy's like, well, how's your wife today?
Oh, she's complaining. She's like, I can't meet a man online. And he's like, you shouldn't be doing any online dating. You're beautiful. She's like, what about your wife? Let's get back to you.
And then they're telling Todd about the grandma, about the new grandma, and then Todd's like, well, does she want money? Like, these people are fixated on money.
She have money.
And then Samantha tells her friends the good news. Samantha is pregnant.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, there's Jason.
I'm back.
And so then, you know, everyone's happy. Like, oh, my God, congratulations. You've been trying for 10 years. Yay. So then Samantha goes to Colleen's house. Mm-hmm. And Samantha is doing – no, Colleen's doing this thing which I've actually seen people do before, mm-hmm. where you put a tennis ball and have it come from the roof of your car or the roof of your garage.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
So then you don't, like, crash into the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've crashed into walls before in garages, so I like this tennis ball idea.
Me too. Yeah, I have a big dent in the side of my car from we have these big poles in our garage, and I messed up my car because of that. So, yes, I need that tennis ball trick too.
She wasn't hanging it right, though. Because the whole point is, so when your car is, it's the furthest in it's going to be, the tennis ball will hit your windshield. So, you know, you're like, okay, I'm at the wall now. So you can't go any further. And so she had the ball hanging there, and it was like a good 5 inches away from the window, which means that when you shut the garage door, it's going to like hit your bumper.
Right.
What a disaster.
But then again, I guess she had people to kill. She had other things on her mind.
She did.
Right.
But if they're going to make it a plot point in the movie, they should probably take the 5 seconds to actually make sure that it's slightly accurate.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not terribly handy, and I noticed that. Imagine any, crafty people at home.
I was so excited about the idea. I don't actually have a garage, but someday I'm going to take – my life is going to be influenced by Psycho Granny.
What? So then they're drinking tea.
Tea.
And she mentions the taste of the tea. So I instantly thought the tea was going to be poisoned or something.
Yeah, and she kept pushing the tea on her too. She's like, "Oh, have another glass." And she was like pouring it before she was asking for it. They were really big on the tea in this movie.
Yeah.
Have another glass of poison tea. Like Colleen. The psycho granny, because she starts telling where she's from, where she's lived, and she's lived in Philly, and I've lived in Philly. She's lived in Seattle. I've lived in Seattle. And I'm a psycho.
Les, are we sure that – have we ever seen psycho granny and Kurt in the same room? Are we sure they're not the same person?
There you go. You've never seen us in the same room. She's lived in Oregon and all over the Northwest.
Yeah.
Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Pacific Northwest.
And then Samantha did something that I have never heard in a Hallmark movie before. Well, she had to pee and told her she had to pee. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we could hear her. We could hear her peeing.
Yes.
And I don't like that. And I wanted to put the word out there that I don't want to hear I don't want to hear a woman peeing, and I don't want to walk by with the bathroom door wide open and seeing a woman squatting on a pot.
And then, Colleen was like, whatever you do, don't flush the toilet. Like, do not flush the toilet.
Yeah, something about getting the septic tank fixed or something.
And she said it like 5 times. Like, just don't you flush the toilet. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And so while Samantha is in the bathroom, she sees a picture of a family in the bathroom.
And this is like right after she told Sam that she couldn't never had any more kids.
Yeah. And so Samantha finishes peeing, which we hear.
Ah, here we go again.
Look, at least she wasn't doing number two. Calm down.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't want any of this. Please, just please. I don't ask you ladies for anything. Just and this.
Then she opens the door.
I get some letters.
Right. She opens the door, and Colleen is like right at the door. Like she's like listening to her pee.
Unlike Kurt.
Ah!
I picture listeners just sending us messages on Facebook at a Lifetime of Hallmark podcast, posting like audio of people peeing.
Well,
I picture that happening now. I'm trying to give anyone any ideas to message Kurt Fitzpatrick and send him audio of people peeing. I'm just saying that I picture that people might do that.
Look. I didn't know people listened to this until this week when we heard that somebody was listening, or else I would not have made these encouraging remarks. But that doesn't even make any sense. Ah, I didn't know. I had prepared these remarks, and I had to make them.
So Colleen says Colleen says she has to go to the bathroom, right?
Oh, no. Why does this psycho granny have these pictures all around her house? She doesn't think anyone's going to see this? Pictures of all these different family members, so I guess she's killed over the years.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into my thoughts on that later, and how that relates to the
movie. We're getting there pretty soon.
Yeah.
So then, Colleen goes into the bathroom, and then Samantha did something that I was like very happy about because Samantha was. While Colleen was going to the bathroom, Samantha snooped around the house. Well done. Well,
Les would do that. He's into all kinds of trickery and snooping around.
Yes,
he's probably in your home right now, listeners, snooping around, looking through your drawer.
Mm-hmm. While Samantha's snooping, Colleen takes out a syringe mm-hmm. and takes a pee from the toilet.
She didn't just have a syringe ready to go to get this urine sample. She had it stored away in like this little jewelry box. It's like that's clearly Colleen's pee syringe box. That's like where she stores the syringe because she's done this before. This is a thing for her. And she just like, well, I'm just going to keep that in the bathroom because I might need that again.
Now, my mom was confused during this. She's like, why is she taking her pee? Why is she taking her pee? I didn't want to seem like, you know, I don't want to, like, I knew exactly why she was taking it. It was, it's a pregnancy test, but I didn't want to say that, like,
you know. So while Samantha's snooping, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but all the pictures on the wall were all the pictures from people in Colleen's book.
I didn't notice that, no.
Yeah,
I assume they were all families that she's been somehow involved with, but I didn't realize they were the same photos. No.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Then Samantha almost got caught, but she didn't. Like, she ran downstairs just in time. I was very impressed by that. And then Samantha asks Colleen, "Well, who are all these people in your pictures?" And Colleen's like, oh, these are patients that I've helped over the year.
Well, first she said they came with the frame. And I think she was hoping to get away with that.
Yeah. I was honestly hoping she would have gotten away with that. Because we knew she was going to get away with whatever lie she told. But I was kind of hoping Samantha was so dumb that she would have been like, oh, okay, sure.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Haven't gotten around to switching them out to put a real people in. Oh.
So then she does a pregnancy test on Samantha's pee. Samantha didn't know this, but yes, she has like a pregnancy stick, and she finds out that Samantha is pregnant and writes baby in her journal.
But you know what was never brought or never brought to our attention that it was brought to Sam's attention was that when Colleen was in a rush to get out of the bathroom and put her pee syringe away in her fancy pee syringe jewelry box, and as Samantha was running down the stairs, Colleen was so flustered she flushed the toilet.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, something's going to happen. And it was never called out. And that was a missed opportunity for me.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that really was.
After Colleen made that big deal about don't flush, and then she flushed, and there were no consequences, it was never addressed.
Because she was like
– getting away with too much.
Mm-hmm. Colleen's husband – I mean, Samantha's husband's suspicious of, you know – as well he should be. And then Samantha gets mad, and she's like, you know, you're just not being fair to her, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Which is a weird reaction after she was just snooping in Colleen's house looking at all these creepy pictures.
Right. But then we find out that her husband has to go to New York.
Right.
And then Samantha is talking to Colleen and asking her more questions. Samantha's telling Colleen about her mother. And then they're in the park, and Samantha starts feeling sick. And then Amy sees them in the park. And
Amy's dressed like she looks like Debbie Gibson in 1989.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I wrote, Amy, Colleen is going to kill you. Then Samantha gets sick, and she goes, and this is another thing I've never seen in a Hallmark movie. She pukes in a garbage can.
But this is a Lifetime movie, though. Yeah.
Well, I think that's what Les is saying. He's saying the contrast between the two.
Oh, I see. I see.
Like, basically, Lifetime will let you take a full-on dump on camera.
Oh.
Hallmark, they don't even acknowledge that they have a bathroom in the house.
Right.
And then they shouldn't. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm starting to prefer Hallmark movies when you put it that way.
So while she's puking, Amy's like, oh, I guess morning sickness is an all-day thing. And she basically lets the cat out of the bag.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So now...
I don't mind puking. I just mind pooping. Oh, there you go.
Name of
your book. There's my signal. That's the name of my autobiography.
Then Colleen's all excited, and she's like, oh, I can give you homeopathic remedies.
Oh, I wrote, bad sign, run. Now you know she's a psycho.
So then we cut to her house, and Colleen is stalking Samantha, but she's also talking to herself in the mirror, and the reflection talks back to her. She's talking to herself in the rearview mirror, the reflection talks back in like a deeper voice.
Yeah.
When one has multiple personalities, as I think they were trying to portray that Colleen did, they don't communicate. Like, they're not aware of each other usually, are they?
Sometimes they are.
And I'm not talking in soap opera world. I'm talking in reality. Like, if somebody has multiple personalities, they might be aware that the other personality exists, but they don't interact with each other.
See, I only know soap opera split personalities.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, and I don't...
You know, Vicky and Nikki on One Life to Live.
Yeah, that's not...
Or...
No, keep talking.
All My Children, Janet Green.
Oh, yeah.
Joey and Moe from...
This is what happened to Janet Green. All right, so Janet Green...
Santa Barbara.
She was heavy. Janet lost weight and dyed her hair and got her hair cut like Natalie's and then threw Natalie down a well.
Was it Abby Lee Miller before prison? Is that who played Janet Green in the earlier part?
Okay. So after Janet threw Natalie down the well, she would look in the mirror and she would see her ugly self looking back at her, and the ugly self would be like, you really did it this time, Janet. What are we going to do now? And she'd like be right.
You know, the only thing people use a well for these days is throwing people down them. It's like, we're not getting water out of there.
Yeah.
Well, you know how Natalie was saved?
How?
Harold the dog saved her.
What's the dog? Earl?
Harold.
Oh, Harold. Right. I was way off.
Is this like Harold a Lassie situation where Harold barked and somebody came?
Yeah, Harold went and got her son Timmy. And Timmy, they saved her from well.
That's Lassie.
Wait, yeah, the boy that came was literally named Timmy. That's the kid from Lassie.
No, it was Timmy Dillon from All My Children. And then when he saved her, they moved into Count Dimitri Marek's castle, which is a whole other story.
Yeah, no, let's hear it. Clearly, someone's down the well. I didn't think we were equipped with the proper medical authority, but now I'm fully convinced that we are.
Yes.
Do you know who busted Janet?
Kelly Ripa.
Do you know who busted Janet? Kelly Ripa.
Oh,
Kelly
Ripa. Yeah.
Because that's when he was Haley on All My Children.
Oh, I thought Kelly Ripa was like playing herself, and she was doing like a
No. Before Kelly Ripa was on live, she was a soap star.
Haley
and before that, Kelly Ripa was on Dancing on Air, the local Philadelphia dance show.
I know Dancing on Air.
Which was also Dance Party USA. on the USA Network.
My old boss was one of the hosts of Dance Party USA at one point.
Really?
Yeah, Bill O'Brien.
Oh, that's funny.
Some girls I went to high school with used to be on those shows with Kelly Ripa back in the day. So that's how I knew about those programs.
I wonder if Bill knows that Kelly Ripa was on there at one point. I will reach out to him and ask.
So while Colleen...
Shout out to Lisa Capelli and Anna Summers, who I went to high school with, who used to be on those shows.
Ooh, ooh.
All right.
Okay. So, Samantha and her husband are basically having a fight because she's pissed that he has to go to New York. And he says that Todd is coming over. Oh, no, Todd calls and says he needs to bring some stuff over. And the husband tells Todd, just leave it on our front porch and I'll get it later. So Todd comes over while Colleen is talking to herself in the mirror. And so Todd goes and drops off what he needs to drop off. He sees her car and she startles him.
Yeah.
And Todd is like, don't you think it's a little late for a visit, Colleen? What are you up to? Colleen just goes ahead and slits his throat. She doesn't waste any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stab him under the neck, right?
Like yeah.
Under the chin, yeah.
He was nosy.
Meanwhile, the husband is telling Samantha, you need to be on your anxiety meds. And Samantha gets pissed. So the next scene, Colleen's giving Samantha a massage. And while she's giving her a massage, she gets the urge to strangle her.
Yeah, this dramatic music starts playing. Her hands just start reaching towards Samantha's neck.
I found two things about this odd. First of all, why was she giving – it wasn't just like a massage. Like, she had a massage table. She wasn't a massage therapist, was she?
No, but –
so
No.
I questioned that, but also I didn't think she was ever going to strangle her. I think that was a fake out in terms of the direction of the movie of like, oh, Psycho Granny's going nuts here. Whereas like she was never going to strangle her because the movie's only an hour in.
This next part won me over, I think, because Samantha asks Colleen if she does acupuncture and Colleen says, I've dabbled in needles. You know, after she stabbed the guy with a needle. So I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Colleen's like, you know, there's so much tension. What's bothering you? And Samantha tells Colleen what was going on with her husband, and Colleen gets pissed. And she gets Samantha's phone and she starts like going through her phone.
Yeah, she takes it upstairs and she sits down and she tells Samantha to just like, oh, just wait here and relax for a bit. I think she said she had to go to the bathroom or something.
Right.
And she takes it upstairs and starts like snooping through the phone.
Right.
Which cautionary tale, put a passcode on your phone.
Yeah. And then Brad, she deletes Brad's message and then Brad starts calling.
And in another
cautionary tale, wakes up Samantha.
Other cautionary tale, if you're going to go through someone's phone, you make sure you turn the ringer off so it doesn't ring and you get busted.
Yeah, true. Oh, fun fact, by the way, even if you do lock your phone with the passcode, as a practical joke on your friends, I have heard that it is possible to use Siri to put funny appointments in their calendar.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've done it.
Oh, boy. Another trickster.
I put recurring events in people's phones to do really, really vile, disgusting things.
Well, keeping the phone away from you.
So,
well, then Samantha wakes up.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, the phone was
ringing. No, go ahead.
Oh, no, she wakes up, and she knows her – I believe she knows her phone isn't there, right? So she runs up to see what's happening with Colleen, and then Colleen covers it up because she says, oh, I know. She opens up the door, and she's, like, peeking out the door, and Samantha's like, what's going on here? And then Colleen says, oh, okay, I admit I made you a baby room. And Samantha's kind of creeped out by that.
I don't blame her.
She plays like, well, off having the phone by saying, here? I didn't want you to be disturbed, so I took it up here with me.
Right.
That smooth character, this psycho granny.
Yeah.
So then Samantha goes out to dinner with Amy, right?
Yeah.
And Amy and Samantha are talking, and she's telling Amy about Colleen and Brad and all the shenanigans they're doing and how they're both controlling and how Brad pissed her off because he told her to take her anxiety drugs. And then we see that Colleen is in disguise.
Yeah, she's got like a hat on.
In a restaurant.
How could Colleen hear them from all the way over there?
Well,
it's like a granny hearing.
Jeez.
Like I can, when I'm in a restaurant, I can barely hear people when they're sitting right next to me. And she was, you know, the pathway for the staff to get by. She was like that far away and a little more because she was like deep in the booth and they're sitting at the bar facing away from her. How could she hear their conversation?
Well, she did. And I love the fact that she was like she's wearing glasses, and that was pretty much. Didn't she have like glasses and like a head thing?
It was like a hat. It's that thing that celebrities do when they go out and they don't want to be noticed, but they know you're going to notice them anyway. It's a baseball cap, looking really casual.
then she holds up a butter knife and she starts having a conversation with her reflection again.
Yes.
That
was amazing. That was amazing.
Yeah, the butter knife, yes.
so,
order more bread. You shut up.
So Colleen is not happy, right? So Amy is like, okay, you know what? Someone needs to look into your grandma. This is something, and I have a friend. Mm-hmm. And this made me actually like Amy because, you know, she decided to do something that I would do. Snoop. So then Colleen has like a butcher knife. the butter knife. So then Amy goes to her friend, Jill. And Amy's like, okay, listen, Jill, here's the deal. This lady, I want to run a check on her. And Jill pulls a caper. And so she goes, because Jill works for an adoption agency. Mm-hmm. So Jill has access to, like, county records and stuff.
Yes.
So then Jill looks her up. And Jill is like, you know, she has a few arrest warrants. And, you know, she's not what you think she is. And then Jill's like, I can get in trouble for this, but I'm going to put in a request, and I'm going to get information on her, and I'm going to have this information for you by the end of the day.
And so it was this point in the movie that I wasn't angry, but I was disappointed in a movie this bonkers would leave a plot hole this gigantic wide open. If Colleen is this liar, manipulator, she makes everything up, why would she be using her real name? They were able to find her by using her real name.
Her name's Helen, isn't it? Oh, no, Colleen's her real name.
Colleen's her real name, and that's how Jill looked her up. Because the only name that Amy knew was Colleen whatever, and Jill pulled it up, and she's like, oh, here's some information right away. It was like as simple as a Google search.
True. I think she made up the name Helen. Could she just make up another name?
Yeah, like if she's so shady that she's been going around killing people and moving from city to city, it never once dawned on her to, like, I don't know, change the name. And if she hasn't changed her name, then why the hell haven't the cops found her?
Right, she's getting sloppy.
Getting sloppy.
She's getting sloppy.
I have here that Amy calls Colleen and she says her granny days are done.
Yes.
And she showed up at her house.
Yes, then Amy does the stupid thing that stupid people do. Mm-hmm. She shows up at her house.
And Granny closes the garage door on her, just like that scene in Breaking Bad with Walter White and his brother-in-law.
Right.
The brother-in-law closes the – I forget who did it. But anyway, yeah.
Because it's like, okay, people – if you're going to go confront somebody and they close the garage door, it's time to leave. Because that means you're going to die.
Yeah. Roll under that garage door and get out.
Right. Because I wrote, how dumb are you?
Well, she shouldn't have walked – she shouldn't have walked onto the property line to begin with. She should have just stayed outside the door.
Right. Exactly. So then, like, in public for everybody to see her. So then Amy and Colleen are fighting, right? They're arguing, and then Colleen smacks Amy in the head with a tea kettle.
Which was a nice touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
After the big deal they made about tea earlier in the movie, that was a nice touch.
Yeah, she's really into tea. Then she strangles Amy with that tennis ball thing. That was the string.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't doing any good not hanging anywhere near the car.
Well, that was its use, apparently. So it definitely
I stand corrected.
So there you go.
So then this is where Colleen has been doing, like, her Pilates. She's been lifting weights. She's been working out because she picked Amy up and just threw her in the car like it was no big deal.
Again, Colleen should be in her early 70s but can lift a human body off the ground. You go.
Colleen has been doing her Jane Fonda. Because isn't Jane Fonda like around 80?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So she puts Amy in the car, and then we hear on the news, like, they're talking about a car crash, which I take that to mean that Colleen just, like, crashed or, like, you know, made the car crash or something. So then we find out that Todd never showed up in New York, of course, because he's dead. And then Samantha's talking to Colleen. She's at Colleen's house. She tells Colleen she's having a girl. Amy's cell phone rings, and Samantha's like, why do you have Amy's cell phone?
When Amy was having the fight with Colleen in the kitchen, it got, like, put on the counter or something. And then when Colleen was cleaning up, she put it in the top drawer to, like, get rid of it and then had forgotten that it was in there.
Sloppy.
Colleen, she can think of lies on a dime. She says, oh, she left it here. We were planning your baby shower. And then Samantha's like, that doesn't sound like Amy. Amy doesn't even like baby showers. And then
she likes this one.
Right. And then Colleen's like, you know what? Just to be on the safe side, why don't we tell her that we found her phone at your house? She's like a nervy woman.
Again, crafting such an amazing, elaborate lie on the fly, but didn't think, you know, I should probably use a different name.
Right.
I have that Colleen was waiting in the car with a needle, and then she stabbed Brad?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. She did in the neck.
She stabbed Brad, okay.
Yes. She stabbed him in the neck. So then Samantha is like, you know what? I gotta go to the bathroom. But then Samantha, while she runs up to the bathroom, she takes one of the pictures from the wall and then goes into the bathroom. And when she gets to the bathroom, she takes the picture out of the frame, and we see that the picture is folded over, and someone is like a boyfriend. It's a picture of a woman, but then we see that it was folded over, and the boyfriend was like folded over to make it look like it was just the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Colleen. Oh, so then Samantha's looking around, and there are like a lot of pills in the bathroom, and Colleen shows up at the bathroom, and Samantha pretends like she has a stomach ache, right, just to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. But then Colleen mm-hmm. discovers that the picture is gone from the wall.
Mm-hmm. And
then Colleen walks into the nursery, and Brad is there sitting on the chair, and he's hooked up to an IV, and he's just drugged out of his mind. And Colleen is like, okay, Brad, we're going on a trip soon. Meanwhile, Samantha gets a phone call from Jill, and Jill says that she found out that Samantha's grandmother actually died at childbirth, so Colleen is a sham. And not only is Colleen a sham, Colleen gave up her child. She really did give up a child in 1983.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And her husband was missing.
At the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. He went missing at the Grand Canyon.
Oh.
And then we find out Colleen's child is named Melanie. Samantha goes to her car. She lets out a primal scream, which is good for stress.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, then it hurts your voice.
She goes to find the daughter, Melanie. We find out that Melanie is a lawyer. I wrote here that Melanie's acting reminded me of the park ranger in that Vacation.
I don't have the clip. Oh. Why would you tease me like that, Les? I may have to go back and edit it,
but
back
it reminds
in.
Me,
I'm not actually doing that.
It reminds me of something that Les would say.
What?
I don't know. What was that? What was his sound? His sound bite.
Oh! Say that again, Kurt.
Oh, it just reminds me of something that Les might say.
Are you searching for adventure?
Should have picked up that you were setting me up. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So Samantha didn't handle this all that well.
No.
Because she just goes up to her, like, a complete stranger and is like, hi, I know your mother. I know you're adopted. I know your brother. Like, lays all this stuff on her, and Melanie's like, what the hell? Oh, and by the way, like, she's like, I know you're adopted. I know your biological mother. Oh, and by the way, here's my address. Call me after you think about this. And leave.
Just do not contact me again.
Also, this woman's a lawyer, and her office is like, oh, here's where you can track her down. Just right. Go meet her outside the court. Like, if I were a lawyer and my staff gave like my whereabouts, like that could put me in danger, depending on what kind of case I'm working on.
Exactly.
Dumbass.
Exactly. Yeah. So then,
oh man,
she's like, you don't know me, but, I think your mother killed your father.
I see dead people.
Very delicately put.
So,
have a nice day.
Right?
This movie was bonkers. I say that a lot, but this movie really was bonkers.
Yeah, well, not only that, there's a Psycho series. I saw there's yes. a movie called Psycho Stripper, too.
They were promoting the movie up next was called Killer Grandma.
Oh, I know, Killer I saw
Grandma,
that.
Killer Grandma, Psycho yeah. Grandma, the Killer Grandma. I should have stuck that. Around for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Samantha's driving. She gets a phone call, or she gets a text, and then she calls. So she calls Brad, but you know, there's she just keeps on getting a message, right? So she gets home. Colleen is there, and Colleen like walks up to her and like chloroforms her and knocks her out.
Which can't be good for the baby.
What, sorry, what'd you say?
That can't be good for the baby.
No, not at all.
No. Probably not good for one's breath.
So Samantha wakes up. She's tied to a chair. And then I wrote, Colleen has been doing her Pilates. Because she knocked a pregnant woman out, drug her home, and propped her up in a chair. And then Colleen starts telling Samantha her plans, and she's planning for a home birth. And then she starts telling her, you know, Amy had to go. And she's telling...
So you don't want Amy as a friend.
Right.
Because she's dead.
And so
negativity.
Samantha, right. Negativity, right, exactly. She's the negative person.
Psycho grandma does not like Debbie Gibson.
No.
No. Don't like that page boy haircut.
But this is where I give Samantha props. Because Samantha, putting her thinking cap on, calls Colleen grandma. And so then Colleen, Colleen, like, snaps into her crazy place. Like, she's like, oh, she's accepting me. So then Colleen is going to drug her, right? And then Samantha mentions Melanie, like, I met your daughter, Melanie. You left her. And she says, you left your daughter because she wasn't perfect. And that's why you killed your husband, because he wasn't perfect. And Samantha is tied to her chair, right? Colleen is going to drug her. But then Samantha gets her hand free and punches her in the face.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And they're totally duking it out, right? They're fighting. And Samantha's really holding her own against this crazy woman. You know, so I guess Samantha has been doing like her mommy and me yoga or something because she was like hanging in there, right? So they're duking
it
out. Or
Pilates.
Or Pilates.
Or both.
Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah, they're probably in the same class.
So then Samantha gets knocked down. It looks like Colleen is going to, like, kill her. But then Melanie shows up.
Yes. Right.
Bonkers.
Well, everybody has each other's address, apparently, so.
Well, Sam did give Melanie the address, but I just think it's funny that the person that ultimately saves a day is a character we met 5 minutes ago.
So then they start fighting, right? Samantha, so Colleen and Melanie start fighting. Colleen starts throwing dishes at her.
Yeah, like kitchen appliances. Mm-hmm. And then Melanie toasters her. She throws a toaster.
she toasters her, and then...
she toasters her.
But then she gets back up. Like, Colleen, like, gets back up again, and then Samantha hits her again with that same teapot that she hit Amy in the head with, I guess.
I just realized that if this were like an 80s action movie and like Arnold Schwarzenegger were somehow in this scene, Arnold Schwarzenegger would have been the one with the toaster, and he would have hit Colleen with the toaster as he said, a toast to motherhood.
Right.
Boom.
Okay, so gentlemen, then what happens at the end of this movie?
There's a doctor. Well, Melanie says something about she's going to have a month-long spa treatment.
Right.
And then what happens? The psycho granny is now talking to a doctor.
Yeah, psycho granny's in the insane asylum.
Yeah, and she's checking out the doctor's family photos. He's going to be her next victim.
Well, tells the doctor that he has a nice family, and then she looks directly in the camera and kind of winks.
Right.
Winky, winky.
Which I thought was amazing and terrible at the same time.
I love this movie.
I think in The Running Man, Arnold Schwarzenegger like cracks some guy's neck and he goes, yeah, he was a real pain in the neck.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That tracks.
This movie is one of my favorites.
Cycle Granny. We're going to remake it. Kindergarten Cycle Granny.
What was your favorite thing in this movie, Les?
What's that?
What I love is the movie's called Psycho Granny, and it didn't pretend to be anything else.
Okay.
It gave you exactly what it told you it was going to give you. It didn't take itself too seriously.
That is true.
Jason, what did you think?
I loved it too. I mean, it was dumb, and there were huge plot holes in it, but I just didn't care because it just went into it saying, look, no, this is stupid, mindless trash, and we are loving the fact that it is, and you will love it too.
Kurt?
I think it's in Raw Deal or something like that. A woman throws a cake at Arnold, and he goes, you should not drink and bake.
What does that even mean?
You should not drink and bake.
But I mean, like, is that a play on words of, like, drinking and driving? It, like...
You shouldn't drink and bake. Okay, so that's good. I use my time on that. I enjoyed Psycho Granny. Of course, what's not to enjoy? She's a psycho. She's a granny. I'm all for it.
What did your mom think?
I think she liked it. She was kind of like sleepy towards the end, but she definitely stayed awake for the whole thing, which is saying a lot. She falls asleep during just about every movie, so she did stay awake.
She didn't like you didn't ask her. Oh, like, how, did you like it, or what did you think of it?
Oh, I think she did. Yeah, I think afterwards, yeah, she did say something that she liked it, or she thought it was like a crazy movie. Yeah, yeah. I think it's anonymous. We all enjoyed it.
So I know that we need to wind down, and we've actually come in on good time.
Yeah, we have.
But yeah. I realized halfway through this podcast that I forgot to pick the podcast for next week, so I quickly went and found one. And
you did? Wow.
I did, while we were talking. I found one. The iPad.
Okay.
So, our next movie is going to be a Hallmark movie.
Okay.
It is called About Perfect on Paper, starring Morgan Fairchild.
Okay. This isn't like debuting this week, is it?
No. Did I find it, I looked it up on a YouTube already and it's there.
I love when Kurt asked that because we know that the subtext is, please don't make me watch this one live.
Yeah, then I have to watch it either Saturday night or Sunday. Yeah, no, usually it's only Saturday night I have to watch it.
No, this one's on YouTube. I not only found the movie, I checked to see if it was on YouTube, and I turned my iPad down and started it to see if it was the actual movie.
Do we know what I'm assuming this is a little bit older. Do we know what year it's from?
It is from
Morgan Fairchild.
Hold on one second. Let me find it.
And I imagine she's like the mother or something. She's probably not the lead.
Oh, no. This movie is kind of a ripoff. Let me see when the date is, and then I will tell you about what the movie is about. And let's see. Okay. It, 2 years ago. So 2017, like 2018, 2017.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh, okay.
Now remember, it's called About Perfect on Paper because there's also a Perfect on Paper as well.
Are they in the same movie canon?
I believe so.
It's the Perfect on Paper series.
Right.
See, now this is a series for Hallmark that I could get behind because they're selling paper products.
Right.
So it's a good way, you know, they could like have Hallmark stationery that they sell in the Hallmark store.
Paper.
This is what this is about.
Hey, The Office was about a paper company, and that thing lasted 9 years on network television.
I've been waiting for a movie about paper.
Okay, here we go.
There's a movie called The Paper. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I've seen that.
Yeah, it's a Ron Howard movie. Yeah.
So here's the synopsis. Portland book editor Natalie Holland, played by Lindsay Hartley, has chosen the wrong guy, another underachiever once again. With her life going nowhere fast, she accepts a job from a publisher and friend, Avery Goldstein, and moves to Los Angeles. A woman of depth and principle, Portland chic Natalie is a fish out of water in LA. And if there's not a makeover montage in this movie, I'm going to be livid. Things get worse when she learns that she is hired to edit the latest romance novel from best-selling author Beverly Wilcox, played by Morgan Fairchild, a glamorous, powerful, intimidating figure straight out of The Devil Wears Prada. Warily taking this assignment, Natalie struggles to maintain her integrity as she contends with Beverly's criticisms and threats. Now, along the way, she meets a handsome surfer, played by Drew Fuller. And a charming attorney, played by Kieran Hutchinson. So as tensions mount at work and in romance, the young editor learns a lesson about judging a book by its cover and finds out that guys who look perfect on paper may not always be the better choice.
So she becomes a lesbian.
Ooh. Maybe.
Really?
No. Not in a Hallmark movie. At least not
there
yet.
Better be a makeover in this movie. That's all I'm saying.
Of the surfer guy?
Somebody.
I have higher expectations.
Somebody. You do not invoke the name of The Devil Wears Prada, one of the top 10 best makeover montages of all time, unless you're going to have a makeover montage.
Morgan Fairchild was in Pee Wee's Big Adventure, my all-time favorite movie.
She was on Days of Our Lives.
She was on Friends.
She was on Mork and Mindy.
She's been in that routine that that's the ticket. Yeah, my girlfriend, she's Morgan Fairchild. That's the ticket.
What? Even when I was young, I never knew her claim to fame. Like, was she just a famous actress? Because she wasn't a series regular on any show, was she?
I don't know I don't know how she got famous.
I think she's kind of like Kevin Bacon. I'm not sure. I think she's like in Kevin Bacon where she's just on like everything.
Well, like Kevin Bacon had starred in some movies, so it was like had like made a name for herself. But I always felt like Morgan Fairchild was someone that was always presented as like, oh, she's this soap queen that hadn't really starred in a bunch of soaps.
Right.
Yeah, she was like one of those people who were almost like famous for being famous. Yeah. Like a Zsa Zsa Gabor kind of thing.
She's kind
of
like,
she's in movies though.
But she was always like in movies where she was sort of playing off her persona of being Morgan Fairchild. So I'm literally trying to get to the root of like, well, where did that start?
Well, see, but then she could actually act because I think the Gabor sisters were like what the Kardashians are today.
Right.
And yeah. I think Morgan Fairchild is because she's basically a character actress for the most part.
Well, she definitely has a very specific type that she can only play.
Like, who plays a bitchy person in, like, TV that's on, like, everything?
Yeah, like, Morgan Fairchild's never going to be the funny best friend. She's always going to play, like, high status, high class woman with money.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she could definitely, like, the Gabor sisters, I didn't think that they could act. I thought they were just personalities.
Yeah, well, the one was in Green Acres.
Well,
Ava Gabor.
True, but she was herself pretty much.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Oliver.
Zsa Zsa. And Zsa Zsa was just Zsa Zsa.
And they'd always just say "darling." Everything was "darling."
Darling.
But, yeah. So yeah, I do wonder that. I guess for the podcast, I'll do a little Morgan Fairchild research.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see what we can dig up on her.
Yes. I know that Morgan Fairchild is not her God-given name. Mm. Like, her name is Pat. Her original name is Patsy something, because she's from Texas. I do know that.
Okay. Oh, so maybe she won like a pageant or something and had become famous from that. That would make sense.
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, guys,
look her up on Wikipedia now.
Okay.
We did it.
You have a show to watch.
We all have a show to watch.
Yeah.
If you want to get a hold of us, like our new friend Terry Foster, you can find me, Les Kirkendall Barrett. You can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or on Instagram at Kirkendall. And by the way, Kirkendall is spelled KURKENDAAL. Or you can find us. Terry wrote us on our Facebook page, A Lifetime of Hallmark. And then we have an Instagram page as well, which is Lifetime of Hallmark.
And
Jason?
So obviously you can use that Facebook page if hypothetically someone were going to leave audio of a woman peeing for Kurt. I realize now that I said that right as I'm going into my social, they're going to be leaving it for me instead, so I'm regretting this already. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Big Shot Jason.
Kurt?
I'm going to say I'm going to be exclusively on Facebook. You can look up my fan page. I'm in an improv show about once a month called Sunday Night Improv in New York. So I'm going to start putting stuff on there whenever I'm in that show.
I'll promote that.
And then CappusMartius TV.com. You can watch my TV pilot, which is completed. That's it.
Oh, and I, Les Kirkendall Barrett, have a show coming up. Which starts, oh my God, the end of next week. I'm going to be doing my show, Walking While Black in Moscow, at the Cincinnati Fringe Festival from May 31st until June 14th. And you can find that on cincyfringe.com. And one last thing, we would love to get some more reviews. So please review us on, you know, Podbean or iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to us. We would love a review. It really helps us.
A 5-star review.
5.
Yeah. Like, if you're not going to leave a 5, don't leave any if you're not going to leave a 5. And if you have feedback for us, let us know as to how we can get to a 5. We welcome that.
Or put it this way, if you don't leave a 5, we'll send Colleen after you.
And you'll be able to find her because she hasn't changed her name.
Not Helen.
Anyway, well, I guess we've got to go because I've got the Jeffersons to watch. I'm very excited about it.
Me too.
And Kurt, I guess you've got to watch the back of your eyelid when you're sleeping.
Yes, which is also live. It's invigorating. All right, check it out.
All right.
I saw the Family one.
I'll talk to you guys next week then.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Have a good week.